Good morning, church family. I'm going to continue on with my message this morning about finding Jesus. And, you know, we've already talked about how Simeon and Anna found Jesus. Talked about how that the shepherds found him. But this morning I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about how the non-believers, how the deniers find Jesus. I'm going to be over in Matthew, the second chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse. I'm going to get to it here in a little bit. But let's open up in prayer and then we'll get started here. But you know, Father, as I come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart again, Lord. I know, Father, you know, Father, I am so unworthy sometimes. You know, Father, I feel so unworthy to stand behind this sacred desk sometimes. Father, I ask you, Father, to give me what's needed here this morning, Lord. To Father, that the message would go out, Lord, and people, Father's hearts can be touched. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your Son Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray, Father, that the Spirit, the convicting power of your Spirit would be upon their lives this morning. I pray that they would be touched, and I pray, Father, beyond all things, that they could come to know you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Philippians, the second chapter, the 10th and 11th verse tells us this. It says that at the name of Jesus, it says every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to tell you this morning, and just let you know, the most important decision that you'll ever make is what the decision it is that you do with Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'll just be blunt with you this morning about that. That is the most important decision that you will ever make. You can think about whatever it is that you might think about be important in your life. But you know what? If you make the right choice concerning Jesus, I'm here to tell you this morning, the rest of those things He will take and put in place. For one day your life will be over. It will be over, and it will be forever too late to make that decision then. It will be forever too late. All of us know just how brief and unpredictable life is, do we not? We know how brief and unpredictable life can be. A visit to the doctor can turn your world upside down. We know that. We've seen it happen so many times. Getting in your car, driving to work, driving to the store, even driving to church. Walking across the street or walking across the road. You know what? Can change your life and change your family's life forever. There's no denying that. Am I right on that? I'll tell you a little story. A man cleaning over in Belpre, Ohio last spring. I don't know if you remember this. He was a gentleman, probably in his 50s, went out to clean his camper, took a 4-foot stepladder, was out cleaning his camper, fell off his stepladder, hit his head, and he died right there in his driveway. That's how unpredictable life is. We don't know. You know, life is brief, and that's why it tells us, that's why I tell you, as it does over in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it tells us this, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'll tell you a story about a younger man that I knew in high school. A boy by the name of Ron Yeager. Most of you know everybody in here probably know who I'm even talking about. I was a sophomore in high school and he was a junior. We played on the basketball team together. Outstanding athlete. Outstanding. Played football, played basketball. Probably, if I remember right, he was probably all county or all state whenever he was a sophomore in football. But anyway, I remember this, and I remember this very, very precisely. One night they went to a high school dance, him and a buddy of his. His mom and dad had bought him a car. We had to be home at 10 o'clock and he was late. So he went flying down the road, hit a bridge, killed him right on the spot. And why I tell you that's just why it's so important to seek and to find Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter how old you were like the guy in Belfry. It doesn't matter whether or not you were in high school. It is important that you make the decision to find Jesus Christ, and accept Him as your personal Savior. James 4:14 tells us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears just for a little time. And what's it say? Then vanisheth away. That's our life. That's what it is. It's not that we will, all of us will not get out of this life without death unless the Lord comes back. We all face death. We don't get out of here that way. But it depends on how long God gives us the grace to live on this planet. Now, let's look at Matthew, what I want to talk about this morning. Matthew, the second chapter, 19th and 20. And it said, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." This morning we're going to look at Herod, is what we're going to look at this morning. You know what? He was seeking Jesus, all right. We know that. But he was seeking him for the wrong reasons. As we know, Herod was looking to kill Jesus. That's exactly what he was looking to do. And as we look at this scripture this morning, I want you to understand it's a very important biblical truth. Very important that runs through the Old Testament and it runs through the New Testament, that one day everybody will encounter Jesus. You will encounter him one day. The reality is, you understand this? Herod still has not encountered Jesus. But I want to tell you of a truth. One day, Herod will see Jesus face to face. He will. You say, well, he's a denier. He's an unbeliever. Yes, but he will see Jesus face to face one of these days. Jesus will then be his judge, who will sentence Herod for rejecting him as his personal Savior. I think this is important, and I want you to understand this. Look at John chapter 5, please, beginning in verse 21. Turn there if you would. I believe this is important for anybody that's in here this morning to hear this. "For as the Father rises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Listen to this. "For the Father judges no man." Do you know that? God doesn't judge no man. Do you understand that? "But has committed all judgment unto" who? "Unto the Son." Jesus Christ, the one that you can find today, one day will be your judge. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son and of God, and they shall hear, shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in. And as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to give life unto himself." And listen to what verse 27, "and has given him authority to execute judgment. Also because he is the Son of Man." Who are we talking about as a judge? The same Jesus that is our Savior now will be the judge. It goes on to say, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming," I love this, "in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The Father witnesses to the Son, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment," listen to this, "Jesus' judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." When is this going to happen, you may ask? Well, let me tell you, if you turn to Revelation 20, 11 through 15, this is when this is going to happen. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." Listen to me. If you do not find Jesus now, you are not going to be able to hide one day. "And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to" what? "Their works. And the sea gave up the dead, and where and which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works." It goes on to tell us, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Dave, that's some kind of a Christmas sermon, right? But I believe it holds true. Remember that, where death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. We'll get back to that here in a little bit. Old Herod will finally meet Jesus one day. He will meet Him. Now let me ask you something this morning. I want to ask you a serious question. How and when will you find Jesus? The greatest tragedy that you could ever face is to experience the tragedy of waking up in hell one of these days. Lifting up your eyes in hell because you did not try to find, to seek and to search out our Lord and Savior today. Separated from God, facing eternal judgment for your sins. You, and let me tell you something, when you're in hell, you will not find Jesus there. You will not find Him there. Hell is just the holding place. Do you understand that? Hell is just the holding place for those who do not accept Jesus into their heart right now. Hell is bad enough, as the Scripture tells us. It's bad. And listen, Luke 16:22-24, you all know this Scripture. It tells it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And guess what it tells it? He happened to him. And he in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he goes on to say, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in these flames. Will everybody agree with me? That is a bad place to go. Amen? I don't want nobody to go. I wouldn't want no one to go there. Mark 9, it's 42 and 44 also. It said, for whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands to go into hell and to the fire that is never quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Folks, hell is not the final resting place, but let me tell you something, where you will spend eternity. You know that? Hell, you'll not spend eternity in hell. I want you to understand it. Do you believe that this morning? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire also. I just told you how bad hell was. Now, can you explain to me how bad the lake of fire is going to be if death and hell are both cast into it? I can't even imagine. I couldn't even describe to you. The Bible doesn't even go into the depths of how bad that place will be. All I know is that death and hell and the devil will be there. And all those who do not find Jesus will be there, just like Herod. Just like Herod. You see how important it is to find Jesus before you die? You see how important it is? Come to know Him now? Not at the great white throne judgment. Whenever he lifts those up that do not know and they're told to be cast into the lake of fire. You don't want to be there. Hebrews 9:27 tells us this. And as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this is what? It is a judgment. It is a judgment. Why did Herod fail to find Jesus? I talked to you about how Simeon and Anna found Jesus. They had hope. They were looking for Him, right? I told you how the outcast found Jesus. That was the shepherds. They found Him. You know what? Why did not Herod try to come to find the one that could have helped him? Not in the way that he wanted to. You see, for one thing, you can't find Jesus if you blame God for your past. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to find Jesus if you do it that way. Herod was deeply troubled past. The Bible goes into a little bit of it, but if you dig deeper into it, Herod had a very troubled past. You see, he had a father who was, you know, you heard about Edom. His dad was an Edomite, and his wife were, and he was born to them, and he had a brother. His brother committed suicide. His dad and his brother both were captured and were killed. Herod had problems. You know how that he thought he was always jealous of someone taking his kingdom. And that's why. The first 3 years of his kingdom, he fought the Persians. That's all he did the first 3 years was fight them. Herod claimed the Jewish religion, but the Jews hated him because of his background and what he did. He hated the Jews. He was hated by the Jews. He was hated by the Persians. He was hated by a lot of different people. We all know Herod had what he did with those babies in Bethlehem. We all know what he did there. But you also know that he killed his brother-in-law. He killed his wife. He had his oldest son killed 5 days before he died. I mean, this is what happened. And just the killing of the babies in Bethlehem, not to mention all of that. I'm telling you this morning, he had a troubled past. And because of that past, he would not want to find Jesus in the way that he should. I'm here this morning to ask you. I want to ask you this morning. How about your past this morning? What's going on in your past life this morning that's keeping you from finding Jesus the way that you should find him this morning? Perhaps it's something that you've done. Maybe it's often it's some pain that's from being mistreated and something like that. Maybe it's something like that in your past that maybe you're not searching for the Jesus the way that you should search for him. Whatever dysfunction you may have in your family, whatever may be going on in your life right now, whatever path that you may think that you got, I can assure you, do not want it to keep you from finding Jesus today and not waiting till after you go out of this life. I often say this and I believe this. You feel like you're tormented today. You feel like you're bad today. What I told you, speak about it, you've got a chance now. You've got a chance to accept him and make it right. But once you die, eternal suffering, eternal torment will be yours. That'll be your lot. And I should tell you something else I believe. When you stand before Jesus, Jesus is not going to stand there and with glee in his heart to judge you. You know that? I don't believe Jesus is going to stand there with glee in his heart to judge you. I believe there will be tears in his eyes. I believe that with those tears in his eyes, he's looking down at you and he's saying, you have done this, and you did not accept me. Depart from me, I never knew you. And I believe the tears will be in his eyes, even as a judge. Because you know what? He is love. He is mercy. And that's what he offers to all mankind. Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Listen to me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a bad past. We all know what Paul did. Paul killed Christians. Paul did many a thing. But you know what? Paul realized that through Jesus Christ, his past can be forgiven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, your past can be forgiven this morning. Find him this morning. Find him now. Herod couldn't let go of his past. That's why he searched to kill Jesus. That's why he was trying to find him in that way. I'm telling you this morning, let go of your past. Find Jesus this morning. Search for him with all your heart and find him and let go of your past this way. No, I'll tell you something else. You cannot find Jesus when you're king of your own life also. You know that? You know, God will not share his throne with you. Do you believe that? I believe that this morning. God's not going to share his throne with you. He will not do that. You must give him rule over your life. You must do that. If you expect to get anything out of this world, you expect to find him in the way that you should, give it to him. Let him have rule over your life. Herod thought he was a god. Herod did think he was a god. His accomplishments were many. If you read in history what all he did, you know what? He made an alliance with Rome. He conquered the Persians. He built a shipping harbor. Israel didn't have a shipping harbor at the time. He built one, man-made. But his greatest thing that he did, he expanded the temple. You've heard of the Temple Mount? That's 90 square acres. You know that's all man-made? And you guess who made that? Herod had that made. It's still, if you go to Israel today, you can still see that. But you know what? He thought that he was everything. He thought he was all that in a bag of chips, Herod did. But Herod, you know what? I tell you something this morning. You know what? His heart was full of pride. Galatians 6:3 tells us, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. He was always worried about someone taking his kingdom. Always worried. That's why, again, I reiterate, that's why he was searching for Jesus. He wanted to kill him because he was worried that he'd come to take his physical kingdom away from him. Oh, Lord, if he could only see. If he could only see. He'd come to bring peace, to set up his kingdom in a spiritual sense that is still evident today. If you're a Christian, you're part of that kingdom this morning. You're part of it. He never could enjoy his accomplishments. If you want to read about something, go to Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 11. I'm going to read it this morning. But if you mark that and read it, I'll tell you what, the wisest man of all, Solomon, tells you what it is about our own accomplishments. What about you this morning? Let me ask you something. Do you take pride in your accomplishments? What are you trusting in? What do you trust in this morning? Know that the Lord will not share His glory with you. He will not do that. Know that if you think that you are too significant, too educated for Jesus, God has a way of humbling people. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isaiah 42:8. I want to tell you something. You may think that you're everything today. You may think that you've accomplished everything on your own today. But let me tell you, you did not accomplish nothing on your own. The Lord allowed you to get up today. The Lord allowed you to take a breath today. He allowed you to go to school. He allowed you to go to work. Oh no, I got up myself. No, you did not. There's many people that cannot get up out of those beds some mornings. There's many people that think that they can do whatever they want and find out, you know what? God is still in control. You cannot find Jesus when you think that you have everything under control also. Do you know that? You'll not find Him that way. Herod saw Jesus as a threat. So as a threat, he thought, I'll take things into my own hands. He did not realize he was dealing with the one true God. He did not realize he was dealing with the Son of Man, the Son of God here. He did not realize that. But he thought he had a plan for everything. He thought he had... Do you think that you have everything under control this morning? Can I tell you something? It's an illusion if you think that. You know that? It is an illusion if you think that this morning that you have everything under control. Let me prove it to you. We have all kind of insurance, right? We've got life insurance, we've got health insurance, we've got dental insurance, automotive, homeowners insurance. Did you know something? Health insurance, listen to this. You know this. You can have all the health insurance in the world. It can pay for your bills, but it will not give you health. It will not. I've seen lots of people that had all kind of insurance. They go to the doctors all the time, and you know what? They still end up sick. The health insurance doesn't do it. Life insurance only pays out after you're dead. It only pays out after you're dead. And we think we've got everything under control. Still, we think we've got everything under control. When Herod, and I'll tell you this, when did Herod find Jesus? He hasn't found Him yet. Just as the people are destined to die, once after this they will face the judgment. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 9:27. Every knee will bow, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. Every eye is going to see Him one day. I'm here to ask you this morning, and I want to ask you this question, and I want to close with this. You don't have to kill babies to end up in hell. You know that? You don't have to. You just have to reject Him as your personal Savior. You just have to reject Him. You may be here this morning. You may be a good, moral individual. And I'm not talking about being a good, moral individual. I'm talking about being a saved individual. You may be moral this morning. And I'll tell you what, one of these days, you can still lift up your eyes in hell one of these days. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, It is. I cannot be any more blunt than that. And I'll tell you this, you can postpone your meeting with Jesus this morning, but I'm going to tell you something, eventually you will meet Jesus. You will meet Him. The choice is yours though this morning. You can meet Him as your Savior, or you can meet Him as your judge one day. I'll leave you with this scripture. Seek ye with the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them. To our God will He freely pardon. Is He knocking on your heart's door this morning? Is the Spirit of God convicting you this morning? Right now. Today. Say, come and get a song. Herod finally found, he will finally find Jesus one day. And I'm asking you this morning, the choice is yours. Find Him here this morning, or find Him one day as your judge. But you will find Jesus. Amen. Let us stand, please.